had someone here that was a designer, and then Mike Amiri was here, and he didn't go up to him to say hello. He's like, that would have been weird. I was like, no, it wouldn't have. This is the opportunity. You got to take your opportunity.
So 100%.
That's my tip, is take your damn opportunity.
Yep.
Because there's only going to be so many.
I'm Tom Ward, and over the last couple years, I've had the chance to sit down with some of the biggest celebrities and influencers in the world. What I've always found most fascinating is the stories of the businesses that they've built behind the scenes. On this show, you'll get an inside look of what it takes to build a successful business from some of the biggest celebrities, business people, and up-and-coming entrepreneurs in the world. This is The Tom Ward Show.
Guys, welcome to The Tom Ward Show, where I interview the biggest entrepreneurs in the world every week, and we get inspiration, motivation, and real tips on how to grow or start your own business. Today, we are at the Surgeon Studios with Dominic Chambroni.
That's right.
I just got a tour of this place, and I love sneakers. I mean, since I was a kid. This place is like you said, Willy Wonka for sneakerheads.
It's Willy Wonka for sneakers, for art and fashion. It's not even just the shoes or the sneakers. There's so much more depth to it, and you're only going to see it when you're actually here.
Yeah.
You know, you can only see so much from the internet or from photos and videos, but when you actually feel it, it's different.
100%. Yeah. Could you ever have imagined something like this when you're in the Bay, scribbling on sneakers when you're a kid?
I mean, yeah, I did imagine it.
Did you really?
I manifested it. I had mentors in the sense that I looked up to, that I saw do things. You know, I got to see Rob Dyrdek's Fantasy Factory. I got to see things that were actually happening that helped create that belief in myself that, like, I was able to create that based on my art or my work. You know, I think as a kid and as a young entrepreneur, you don't truly know what that looks like. You have the dream, you have the vision, but the older I got and the more I've done and I've put those dreams into reality, when I have questions asked to me like that, then it's like, yes, I did imagine that. You know what I mean? Not to this level of detail or how exactly, but yeah, I definitely imagined it.
You thought big.
Yeah.
And Rob Dyrdek, I always wanted to interview him. He's a great entrepreneur, if people don't know that too. How did you get access to him when you were a kid?
No, I mean, that's just from MTV.
Oh, wow.
That's just from watching TV.
Oh, I got you. Okay.
You know what I mean? But, you know, I had a mentor that I looked up to, like Guy Fieri was from Santa Rosa.
Okay.
So as a kid, I grew up in Santa Rosa, California, small rural town, and there wasn't much coming out of there. And I was very, you know, you only see so much, and I think the world's so big that if you don't see it on TV or now social, now I get to actually travel. But for me, I saw this chef that came out of a small town that was on TV, and for me it's just like, yo, that's dope, this guy's doing something bigger than, you know, just staying in this town. So I got to at least see that, you know, in a different, you know, my field was art and fashion and whatever you want to call it, but I got to see someone out of my town, and that helps gave me inspiration to be like, man, if someone else can do it, I can do it too.
Dude, 100%. And I think that's the same reason there's so many actors and actresses and movie people from LA. Isn't because they're more talented than the person in Florida, but it could be a career and they see it. You know, their friend's dad's a producer, or this one's an editor, or this one works on this kid's TV show. And it's like, oh, wait, that's like tangible.
Yeah, I mean, and LA, there's so much going on here. So LA is its own world, and if you're here, there's so much more opportunity. And when you see that, actually see physical opportunity, then you know that there's a path to it.
Is that why the Academy is so important to you, like giving back and showing people that, hey, look, you can do this too, and this can be a career? You know, it may not be to this extent,
right?
But there's a ton of hustles in the sneaker game or the design game that you can do.
Yeah, so growing up, I did not like school. I didn't like learning out of a textbook. Yeah. I didn't like being talked at. I needed to be creative and make things with my hands. So it was always a dream. And I had a Western boot, cowboy boot maker from Sebastopol, California, that was a mentor of mine. I didn't learn how to make boots from him, but I just got to see how passionate he was about making these $3,000 boots, which I was like, man, that's so expensive at the time. And he spent so much time on it. But me and him, I was 18, 19, 20, and we both talked about creating a maker's school and a trade school where you can actually use your hands. And years later, I moved to LA. I did my first class in Brooklyn, and It's to give people the access, because it took me 15 plus years to figure out how to make a shoe, how to make a sneaker, and how to make it the best quality ever. And it's, there's what I've learned is, one, there's no one way to make it, make a shoe. There's tons of different ways, and everyone has their own methods. But now I have created my method, and I want to just give the tools and opportunity for someone to make a shoe for themselves, make a shoe for their family member, or to create a business. For me, my business isn't custom shoes.
You're beyond that at this point.
Yeah, so you get to see that behind this world, but I want to give people the access to it. And it's not necessarily for them just to be an entrepreneur or create it as a business. There's tons of students that do that, but it's also doing something, I call it healthy selfish for yourself, fulfilling something. You know, selfish is known as a negative connotation. And
not always. You got to take care of yourself. I guess that's selfish. Yeah. But
so I think I just wanted to give people the tools to be able to make shoes. And I mean, you've seen what's happened in the sneaker world.
It's insane.
You know, it's blown up even more. I couldn't have imagined that. But I just want people to be able to create something for themselves. And my classes have become transformation classes about... A lot of the students have something really deep, going through something very deep and dark, or and they're using this to channel that energy. So it's been amazing to see what the schools have evolved into. And yeah, I love giving back, and there's a different fulfillment that I get and satisfaction that I'm able to mentor students.
That's cool. And I was watching some of the videos on YouTube, and everybody check them out. The YouTube channel is pretty incredible. But I picked the wrong demo for that class. In my head, I'm going, it's like, you know, young dudes, sneakerheads, you know, passionate sneaker guys. But like, I saw there was, you know, old men and women in there.
Yeah, we have,
you know,
all types of
everybody,
all types of students. And I used to always call the students kids, but there's not kids. I mean, we have a 13-year-old. You know, we have the youngest was two 13-year-old boys. We have a 14-year-old boy and his father.
Oh, that's cool.
I'm pretty sure we had a mother and her son. And then we have ex-CEOs or people that are retired, people that work at different companies. And some of them want to make it a business, and some of them just want to do something for themselves. So it's a vast, there's a lot of different people in these groups of classes.
So go back to the boot guy.
Yeah.
I never heard that story before, but did you seek him out? Were you like, so at that point of your career, would you say you were 18?
Yeah.
You were designing shoes for a while. You kind of came along from scribbling to designing to sewing and learned all that stuff. Did you seek him out? Like, I want to find like a master craftsman in this field. You know, maybe not the exact thing, but he's making boots, but a shoemaker where I can learn from him.
It's funny how that happened. So let me go back to my story a little bit. I was 15, I painted my first pair of shoes, and then I wanted to learn how to sew. I started gluing materials on shoes. I actually sewed my prom tux in high school.
How'd it look?
With help. I didn't do it myself. I had proper help.
Okay.
Like my brother's girlfriend's mom at the time. And I was just always into making and creating. And then the sewing machine, my first sewing machine is up there that my grandmother bought me. But then I moved to North Carolina. I moved to Charlotte when I was 18. And I was still painting shoes. I was going into the malls, just looking how people were out there were already airbrushing shoes and painting shoes.
No, just pause on that real quick. Were you making money at that time? And if so,
No, I wasn't making money.
You were just buying sneakers and experimenting?
Yeah.
Okay.
I had friends always asking me to do it, but...
Would you do it?
Yeah, I would do it for them, but I didn't know how to charge someone, especially as an artist. I was like... And, you know, I didn't think my work was good enough, so I was like, I don't want to charge yet. And I think... You know, growing up, my parents' relationship with money was very unique, and mine, even to this day, it's unique. Not everyone, you know, sees money the same, and it's like, how do you have that relationship with money? And mine changed when I would truly understood that when I'm creating something, it takes my energy and my time, and when someone, you know, pays for it, whatever that however that money comes from, it's, they had to work for that money. So it's an energy exchange. It's not just It's not just dollars and cents.
It reminds me, and I'm going to screw up the quote, but Leonardo DiCaprio had this quote where I think he did like 5 minutes in a movie and, you know, he got paid like $3 million for it. And some like reporter, somebody was like giving him for it.
Yeah, it's about what?
And he's like, no, they're not paying me for the 5 minutes.
Right,
they're paying me for the 20 years it took to get there to be able to make the 5 minutes look good.
Yep.
Is that kind of what you're saying too?
I mean, yeah, to now, to this day, yeah, for sure. Like, I've been working on this my whole life, so you're not just paying for this product. You pay for a piece of me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's the same thing.
Yeah. Is that how you look at your sneakers, like an extension of yourself?
Yes.
I mean, you're a
yes.
true artist.
Yes.
You know, it just happens to be sneakers and now other things.
It happens to be a sneaker, and I want people to wear the sneakers. So I sought after making something that could last forever or could last a long time. And so going back, so when then moving back to Northern California from Charlotte, that's when I started just was like, yo, I need to figure out, I need to learn about shoe repair. I need to learn about all this stuff. And I was working at a gym at the time, and everyone knew me or the people I worked with as like the shoe guy. Like, I painted shoes and all this. So everyone knew about that about me because I always talked about it. And then one of the girls signed up, Michael Anthony, who was the bootmaker. He's like, yo, I just signed this guy that makes shoes. And I was like, what? I was like, how? That doesn't even exist. Like,
that's a job.
And then I met him, and then it was like these boots, and I was just, it was amazing just to see how much time and energy you put into these boots. And I mean, he made boots for George Lucas and for all types of people, and he's still a friend of mine. I still need to go. I still need to go take a class. I actually paid him to make a pair of boots, but then I was like, you know what? I'm gonna do it with you, and I just haven't had the time.
That's so cool.
But yeah, so I mean, I kind of seeked him out, but we kind of seeked each other out in a sense.
Watching him, did you realize at that time, like, actually, this could be like a job, and I could make money from this? Because you've seen him do it and charge $3,000. Did you have the confidence in yourself yet to even think of that?
I was still in schooling, in a sense. I never went to school for this, but I was still like trying to figure out how to learn this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So to see him, I was like, okay, that's what he's doing with the boot is what I want to do with sneakers, because it doesn't exist. And
it truly didn't.
No, it didn't. I mean, you would have to go to Italy. You'd have to go to different parts of the world to take a proper class or go to a college. And they don't even teach you actually how to make the shoes by hand. It's like, there's so much more to it. So, I don't know if it was about the money yet. It was still about just like me trying to figure out how to create what I was searching for.
Yeah. It was just kind of at this time you're perfecting your craft.
Yes.
Like as any artist in whatever medium you're in, you know, you got to put in your 10,000 hours, 100%.
Yep.
And it sounds like you put in your 10,000 hours for sure. Maybe more.
I mean,
if you look at all that time, maybe not necessarily making sneakers, but studying them and looking at them.
10,000 hours, but I'm still like, I don't even look at it. I don't feel like I got there yet.
Okay.
I've hit the 10,000 hours, but I haven't got there yet. It's this never-ending thing.
You're always learning.
Yeah.
How important is passion when starting a business?
I just read a quote about what you do isn't your passion. You have the passion that you bring to it, right? So it's like, how important is it to starting a business? You should let the passion inside of you drive whatever business you choose or a job, right? Like, I used to work at a gym and I was passionate about doing the best job I could, right?
Yeah.
From whatever it is, like washing the towels and making sure they're folded properly. Mm-hmm. And I was always on it. It's like, you bring the passion to anything you do. And to starting your business, if you look only at the numbers, you're only going to get so far,
mm-hmm.
right? You can't let just the numbers drive everything. You need to have that energy, and there's going to be times where you're not making money. I mean, I wasn't making money for a very long time, and people don't understand that.
So you had a regular job all this time as you were learning this, and I think that's the importance of, you know, side hustles.
Yeah.
Because a lot of these things may never make money, right? Maybe it turns out to be a hobby. Maybe it's just a learning experience, but you don't have to quit your job or quit school to be able to do this.
Right.
You can gradually
100%.
Learn over time.
I was working at a gym, then I started selling supplements, and then I was selling stuff on eBay, and then I was working, you know, I wanted a better job, and this is while I was doing this stuff as well.
Yeah.
So like, you know, finding a better pay job, then understanding that job sucked, so you know, I needed to just do something enough to pay some bills and then do what I really was passionate about.
Well, it's funny. It reminds me of, you know, thank you for sharing that Instagram story yesterday where it said, you know, people have questions for you. And number one, by far, wasn't even a question. It was a statement. It goes, please don't do the interview like every other interview does it with him. Like, don't cover the same things over and over again.
No, it's true, because I've done the same interview over and over, even from the same places. So
how are we doing so far?
No, this is
we doing okay.
Yeah,
we're doing good. We're doing okay. Comment below.
we'll dive deeper too.
So, the one thing I wanted to cover though is something you have talked about, and this is the only thing that everyone else talks about. You had a quote about, you know, freshman year of high school, I think it was, you know, your cousin let you borrow a pair of Jordans.
Yep,
and
they're right behind me.
Oh, wow, man.
The original 85 Jordan.
Yeah, I'm very familiar. Yep. And you talked about kind of the confidence it gave you. And I completely related to that.
Yeah.
Because I think as a kid, you know, you don't have a lot of cash, right? You can't drive, so you can't have a fancy car.
Right.
You can't have an expensive watch.
Right.
Sneakers are the status symbol, or at least when I was a kid.
No, they still, I mean,
they're still
even more to this day, because now they're more expensive, but they're still less than a car. You know, the car.
Well, you have some that are worth more than a car.
Well, that's true, but, you know, the standard shoe is, you know, it's still the same thing. It's a status symbol, but it's a low, it's easier entry point. You know what I mean? Like, now there's 13-year-old kids that are buying shoes and reselling them.
It's making
a whole business now,
real
too.
Money, yeah.
There's the shoes for fashion and wearing them. Then there's the reselling part. Now, my part's like the altering, the customization, and taking it even further.
Yeah.
So you see worlds open up within the sneakers. So for me, as a kid wearing these shoes for the first time, it gave me a voice without truly having to speak. It was hard for me to connect with people. Growing up, I was just very quiet and shy and quiet, and I didn't really know how to connect with people. So having these shoes, it created a connection without me having to speak. So I just knew I needed cool shoes.
Yeah.
Right? And I happened to wear the coolest shoes in the world at the time, which I didn't truly know what they were. Luckily, I had an older cousin that was, she played semi-pro softball, and she was into sports.
Mm-hmm.
So I got to wear her shoes, and it just created so much noise walking down the halls of the high school.
100%.
You know, as a freshman year, I had an older brother that was cool with a bunch of people because he was a jock as well. But, you know, when you go into freshman year of high school, you're scared. You're like, well, I don't know what's going on.
Where do I fit in?
Yeah, where do I fit in? So it was like, man, it was the shoes. And then once you can't wear the same shoe twice, you don't get that same feeling anymore. So I was like, okay, well, then I started collecting Jordans, and then all my friends had the same shoes, and I was like, okay, well, that feeling's gone because we all have the same shoes. So that's when I airbrushed a pair of shoes, and it was the same feeling. I went to school, and people said, where'd you get those? And I said, I made them. And then they were like, and then it was the same feeling. I was like, oh, I can actually I can recreate this feeling myself. The paint fell off. It was the wrong paint. And then it switched from like, just the art to like, okay, how do I make the quality last forever?
Isn't it cool that you literally came full circle? Now you get to provide that experience for other people, because other people get one of your shoes, and you know, it doesn't matter if they're 50 years old or they're 18. When they wear those, you're going to get an immediate reaction.
Yeah.
And it feels good.
I haven't even thought about that, actually.
See, I'm good.
But yeah, you are. I do believe I'm at service to humans.
Yeah.
Whether it's from the teaching of the classes or creating and it's more than a product. I create something that creates emotion, evokes emotion. So if you're wearing these shoes, you create a similar feeling, if not better than, you know, that feeling I had. So yeah, it's cool to see that full circle.
Yeah. And so you're doing this, you're moving around, and you're kind of learning your craft. When do you start charging? I mean, you got to start making money at this at some
charging?
Point.
I think I got my first, I think I like started charging some of the, because I'm from Northern California, so then we started going to all the parties in San Francisco, so then we became friends with the DJs.
Oh, nice.
So then I started like charging like the promoters or the DJs or even, I remember getting my first check. I made a pair of shoes for a mentor of mine that had his own shoe brand in LA called Android Home, and he wanted me to do shoes for Will.i.am for the VMAs, you know. And I'm still like up in my garage trying to figure out like what the f*** I'm doing.
You go from that to I'm making shoes for Will.i.am.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah, we just, you know, I was always good at network. Well, this is the thing. It wasn't even just Will.i.am. What happened was he asked me to make shoes for Will.i.am for the VMAs. I got asked to make shoes for a TV show called Law & Order SVU.
Which I love that show. Big, big fan, yeah.
You got to see the episode. It's called Personal Fouls. It's old.
Okay.
It's an older one, but it's the shoes were the main part. I'm not in it. The shoes were the main part of the
shoes.
So I got asked to do that. Will.i.am, and I was making shoes for the highest end boutique in Los Angeles called H. Lorenzo, all at the same time.
And you're still living in the Bay at this point? Okay. So in your garage.
Yes. I'm driving down, bringing like the shoes, and this all happened at once, and they all came from different things. So people ask me all the time, what was the one thing that like that, you know, did it for you? And it's like, there's no one thing.
It's a bunch, a series of events.
Yes. Yeah. So, but yeah, I mean.
So there's got to be something before you get on SVU and Will.i.am.
That's when I started charging before that. So
yeah, before you,
it was just like,
what were you doing? What kind of work? You're beyond just painting at this point. Are you making shoes?
Yeah, well, I wasn't fully making them. I was customizing them. So that's where I learned shoe repair, where I could put material on the shoe, sew it together. There's a few pairs in here that I'll show you later. But and then, yeah, charging like $150 for some Vans. Actually, I have a pair that I charged one of my friends at the time $150, and he was trying to... Everyone was asking for a better price. You know what I mean?
Of course. They like, know you.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're
so,
just...
Even to this day. So... But that's when I started charging, and then, you know, I talked to a friend of mine, and she was the one that really was like, just think of it as an energy exchange. It's true, just like, it's not about money. It's about the energy that you guys are both creating. So it was cool to, like, work past that through me and, you know, started charging $100, $150, $300. Then I made a Python Jordan, or then I, you know, I have a photo of me holding a check, my first check from my friend at Android Home with... I don't remember the amount was like 400 or 500. I don't remember 600.
Did that seem like the world at the time?
Well, that month was a big month for me because I did that one and the Law and Order, and then I did so it was, you know, I made $15,000 in a month and that.
Wow.
At 22, 23, that was a lot of money for
That's
me.
Real
and
dough.
It was gone the next month.
Would you spend it on sneakers?
Alcohol.
Yeah, partying. Sure, of course.
You know what I mean? Just dumb stuff.
Why not?
Eating. I mean, just anything.
Yeah, you're in your 20s. Yeah. That's a big check to get, you know?
So, but yeah, that's when I started charging. And then I made a, you know, and then that didn't last long. And then months went by. I'm still just like in my garage trying to make, it's like making art, right? And then figuring out how to get it to the world. And that's when Instagram happened. And I put a Python Jordan 4 on Instagram, and it like blew up, and it became its thing. And then people started emailing me like, "Hey, I want a pair." And then other customizers started making a pair, and then started charging like $300, $500, and it cost me more money to make them. That's just what you do, you know? You're just like feeding the hamster wheel.
Yeah.
And then I linked up with another. Artist, and we started doing a shoe called Misplaced Checks, where we would slightly customize a Nike, and that one went viral and became a thing. Like, everyone needed these shoes. I was producing them, helped design them, and then I was making it a business, and that's when I moved to LA.
Before we go to LA, where I read somewhere you were talking about inspiration, and I read you were talking about like, you were making a pair of sneakers, but you saw a cool shirt and you just go, I'm going to cut that fabric up and make it into a shoe. You know, it just seemed like such a cool idea. Where do you get like inspiration from? Like from anywhere? Do you get it from other clothes?
Yeah, I mean, my inspiration comes from everywhere, man. And now with the world of the internet, there's inspiration that comes from there. But for me, I really like to travel and to like go to material spots. I'm more of a material guy than a sneaker guy. People think I'm a sneakerhead, but I'm not. I just like making shit.
Mm-hmm.
Like if in the other room over there, you'll see a sewing machine table that I built.
And I want to talk more about that later of kind of what the future looks like beyond sneakers.
I mean, I just, since I was a very young kid, I was always just making shit. And the only way I knew how to do it was just if I had an idea, I needed to physically make it.
Yeah, yeah.
I wasn't really a drawer. I didn't do much. I just needed to physically make something. So, I mean, the inspiration just comes from, I think, the energy from all of the things that I've visited in places.
You know, I'm going to ask a question. Somebody asked on Instagram. I'll give him a shout-out. Jules Ziegler. If you want a shout-out in one of the future video, just take...
Jules Ziegler.
Yeah, Jules Ziegler. Take a picture of the interview and tag me on Instagram in a story, and we'll get you in a video. But I always want to give people shout-outs. He said, do you ever have creative blocks? And if so, what do you do to push through? I'm sure you people have... I write, so I have writer's block. Okay. Do you ever have creator's block? Is that a thing? Yeah.
When you get bombarded with... the stresses of life that I've learned that truly aren't that stressful, but we create those stresses. So what do I do to get past it?
Yeah.
Surround myself with good energy, really dive deeper to myself, meditate. It truly...
I meditate every day too.
It truly brings out this different energy, and it quiets a lot of the things.
What kind of meditation do you have?
I do a lot of guided meditations. I actually used to have a friend in here. We do guided meditations.
Cool.
That's something definitely...
that helps you?
I've been doing for a while, not consistently. It comes and goes. But it's definitely something that will really get you more in tune with your creative side.
Mm-hmm. Is there certain, is music an inspiration too? Is there certain, albums you'll go to, to snap you out of it?
It's funny because recently I just felt kind of like... numb or bored to life, and then because I haven't been listening to any new music or even old music, and then I put on St. John's album, his second album, which is amazing, and I put it on again, and I was like, oh, this is what I've been missing again.
Yeah,
like you just feel the energy, and definitely music, and music is definitely helpful.
Yeah, I'm the same. Like, I'm a music nut.
Yeah.
And to this day, my kids even know to stay away Friday morning because it's New Music Friday. And I still, I'm 17 years old, going to the CD store. Yeah. I'm, seeing, what's new and, what's going on. And it is. It's good energy, and it's just something fun to do.
I just started putting music on in my house. As soon as I wake up, just put, a random mix on all my speakers.
Yeah.
And just even with the kids there, just let them feel it and see. It's cool.
Yeah, my kids hate it, but it'll be in their DNA at some point, so they'll have random...
they'll like it eventually.
Yeah, they'll have random music trivia that they'll never be able to use. So what did Will I Am do for you? Did he actually give you shout outs?
No, on social.
What did that actually do for you besides a check?
It was a job for them that I did, and it was cool. But you get so much more to it than the money value, and that's what I believe is all energy. And he wore them on stage at the VMAs, and he did the song with Nicki Minaj, and it was all over the blogs, with my name on it. So I had that, and then right after that is 6 months later, I met Justin Bieber's stylist because of that situation.
Oh, wow.
And
you said, series of events.
Yeah,
it's not one thing that blew you up.
So then I met Justin Bieber's stylist, and I started making all of his tour stuff when he was booming, at a kid. I have the gold ones over there were actually his pair that they...
Oh, yeah, the wings. I saw those, yeah.
And didn't put jet fuel into the business.
Yeah.
What put that jet fuel was me creating a Python Jordan 4, which I actually have the original one up here too. That was the one that really took off. There was that one, and then
that's the one you hit on Instagram?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And then that one, and then the misplaced checks, and then I was doing, I was getting orders for custom one-offs, then I was getting, if I made a shooter, I want those. And then, it just kept growing.
So social media, so Insta is kind of what really fueled the fire for you.
Instagram, for sure. It created, and I didn't know what it was,
It was new then, right? It was new then.
Yeah, it was new, but no one really knew what it was. It was just we post photos on this app.
Yep.
And your friends follow you or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And
it wasn't a business yet. There weren't influencers. Oh, no. It wasn't a career.
There was nothing like that. But it was a way for you to get your art into the world faster, pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
So, posting that first one. I have some of the early photos before that. Was just I don't even remember. Me doing some dumb shit. Just a dumb photo. But it's thanks to Instagram. And it's opened up a lot of businesses for people and opportunities. So, I'm grateful for them. And I have a great relationship with them.
Oh, wow.
It was cool just to, I posted that shoe, and then I think less than a year later, I moved to LA and hustled to figure out what I was doing still, like trying to figure it out, and it took like 3 years to kind of get grounded here. And then
we'll pause there for real quick. You mentioned a word I love, hustle.
Yeah.
When you were talking earlier that we were in the Bay and you got in with the DJs because the DJ kind of control the parties and there's people at the parties, potential customers at the parties, right? No one taught you how to do that.
No.
And every successful entrepreneur I've talked to just has that. Now, do you think that could be taught, or do you think that's something you're born with? I don't think...
I think it could be taught. I think everything could be taught, but not everything could be retained. Like, you can teach something to someone, but if they can't understand it, then that's on them. You can teach anything. Networking wasn't taught to me.
No.
The hustle was taught to me through my dad and my mom. They hustled hard. All I saw them do was work. They opened a restaurant when I was my freshman year of high school.
Tough business.
That's a very tough business.
And I had most fail.
And I had to spend a lot of time in that restaurant too, but I got to see how hard my dad worked and how hard my mother worked. And, you know, at that time, I didn't think of them as entrepreneurs. I just thought of them as like my parents who had a restaurant or owned a restaurant that I was entitled to.
Yeah.
You know, but like looking back at it now, it's like, damn, because of just seeing how hard they worked, they created a dream into reality. And it was more than just like a restaurant from the food. It was like they painted, we had this skylight in there that was like this beautiful cloud paint. And there was just so much art in there looking back at it. My dad is very artistic. So, I mean, the hustle definitely came from my parents. The networking, not so much. That just was inside of me for, I don't know how or why, but it is. I like talking to people, and I like when if people say F you or get out of here, no, and it makes me want to do it more.
It's funny. I'm the same way.
Yeah.
But most people, when they hear, I was in sales like in my previous career, so no doesn't bother me.
No.
But a lot of people, I think most people, when they hear no, a lot of them just shut
down. Yep.
They're done. That's it. One no, game over.
The first shoe repair guy I searched out, I said, hey, I want to learn about your machines. And he was like, F you, get out of here. And I was just like 18 years old. I was like so confused. I was angry.
Yeah.
And then I left. And then when I was leaving, he was like, no, don't leave. And I was just like, get the fuck. I was like, whatever. And I went to another shoe repair guy. Like, I liked that no. It fueled me.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's still things that I'm affected by when you hear no. You're like,
of course.
You don't like, that's just
you're
natural.
Human.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But it definitely fuels something.
You know, it's funny. I was just watching, there's a new Mike Tyson doc on Hulu, and the first episode I was watching this morning when I got up, and I grew up with Mike Tyson, like he was my guy, and they were showing like his kind of origin story.
He was just in my shoes.
Shut up.
Yeah, they're shooting him for a cover of a magazine that I work with, so it was cool. He was just in my shoes.
Wow. Yeah. Everybody's been in their shoes. But they were showing his kind of origin story, and he's like 13, he's in and out of juvenile halls, you know, homes, everything, and he's in like, I don't know, bad kids jail, I guess. I don't know what you would call it.
Yeah.
And he wanted to get into boxing, and he walked in the ring, and this little white trainer beat the hell out of him. So then he went up to him the next day and said, you got to teach me how to box. And he said no. And he said no to him every time he asked. And then finally he broke down and goes, okay, you got to put in some work. Get good grades, pass, get your credits in this, and then I'll teach you. And then he went out and hustled and did it. But you just made me think of him. So he heard no 100 times, and like he was passionate and wanted to do it. So he just kind of did what it took.
Yeah, and when I think about those stories too, the one that comes to mind the most is Diddy. You know, Diddy was knocking on the door in New York City. I couldn't tell you who or what, but he over and over kept asking and asking, and eventually like they let him in, and he was an intern, and then he worked. Look at him now, like
billionaire.
People don't understand, like, you start from the bottom truly, and you gonna get a lot of no's. You can't shut down, and that's what I've learned about what success or what just about you can't give up. And you know, giving up is true failure, but it's okay to fail in the sense that like doesn't always have to be perfect. It doesn't always need to be right, but you always got to move forward, you know? So.
You've done a great job networking, like you were just talking about. And I love talking to people. I mean, look what I do.
Yeah.
You know, I like talking with people.
Yeah, it's a nice job.
It's a nice job. You just get to talk all day. But I think I see people network, like, I naturally, I'm really genuinely interested in somebody. Like, I'm genuinely interested in you, and, like, somehow, right. like, I'm lucky to be able to actually sit down with you. Mm-hmm. I'm just a regular guy. This is pretty crazy. But
yeah, but you created that moment. You know what I mean? You created your, you found, you put your passion into something,
yeah.
and it created that moment for you. So technically, you made that happen.
Yeah, it's true. People just see this and, like, oh, wow, he's got a, you know, this bald yeah. guy's got a maid. It's like, dude, I had a sales job for corporate job for 10 years yep. that I hated
yeah.
that I would, my stomach would get upset every
and,
morning.
And part of that hate fueled you to do this even more.
So 5 years yeah. I'm doing it on the side and losing money and everyone's yep. making fun of me, yeah. telling me I'm crazy.
Oh, when I first started thinking the idea of making shoes, my friend was like, had a $20 hour job, which was amazing. And yeah. he's like, you could do this. And I was like, why would I want to do that? He's like, why would you want to do that? And now he like looks at me, he's like, oh.
Okay.
You know?
You had your plan worked
yeah.
out.
Yeah, so same as you, you know?
It's so funny.
It's not about the money at first.
No.
You know, it's about creating something that has, that fuels you, that you know. I mean, I knew the money would come.
But where do you get that confidence from? Who knows?
I don't know.
You know, when you're scribbling on sneakers, and when I asked you before, if like, could you have ever imagined this? You said, yeah, I mean,
in a sense,
kind of, yeah, I could have my playground and do shoes and all this other stuff. Like, where do you get that confidence or belief from? Because it's a pretty crazy idea to have when you're in seventh or eighth grade to think that this could possibly come true.
Yeah.
Like, where does that come from?
I think
that belief.
Yeah. I think as humans, we're all wired differently, and I'm wired extremely sensitive to energy and to myself, and I've had a lot of dark times in my life
mm-hmm.
That I didn't understand, and I fueled that into this even more. And yeah, I think some creatives have the very highs and lows, and you know, like you see what, you know, Kanye deals with, and,
oh yeah,
you know, there's just I have a different type of energy inside me, and I'm very intuitive, and I've learned to connect with myself, and I'm wired in a certain way.
Mm-hmm. You know? And artists are different people. My father-in-law always says that. Like, they're different people than us, than regular people. If somebody watching this, if they're not an artist, they kind of think differently. And you're right. I look at them, and a lot of them have those big, yeah, you know, yeah, peaks yeah. and valleys, and, you know, who knows where that's coming from. But when you look at a guy like Kanye, because, you know, we talked about Bieber and Will.i.am, and people are watching going, dude, you're supposed to do it different than everybody else. Yeah. You didn't listen to us. But I am going to, because I wouldn't. Does he inspire you because he started as an artist, or started as a producer, then an artist, but then he evolved into an entrepreneur and right. designer,
yep.
a true designer of all kinds of stuff. Started with sneakers,
yeah.
kind of branched out. Where do you see your future going? I mean, you're beyond sneakers now. Like, where do you want to take it?
No, I think to answer that question, a lot of what we see is controlled by the media, so we're only seeing one side. So
you see crazy Kanye,
yeah.
That gets headlines.
You see crazy Kanye, and then you see the whatever, the negative. So for a while, I was kind of, I didn't enjoy anything he did, and then I watched his documentary they did, and it brought me back to like who Kanye. Where he came from
yep.
and who he is. And I'm like, oh, so it brought me back to be like, damn, he's definitely very inspiring to see where he came from. I mean, and to see it from even him just making the beats from.
Yeah. If you guys have some time on your hands.
That documentary is great.
Yeah. And you can YouTube.
I need to watch it again.
There's clips on YouTube, like him with in the studio with Jay-Z.
Him and Pharrell is the best.
Him and Pharrell is the best one. And him and Timbaland.
Yep.
They're great.
But yeah, he's definitely the most inspiring. He's your guy. I mean, I don't love all of his work, but I love him for being in touch with himself and not letting the world say no to him, and him, you know, and being intuitive to himself. So he's definitely very inspiring. The one guy I always looked up to was Pharrell Williams.
First of all, he still looks like he's 20. Yeah, I don't know how he's defying age.
He's a vampire.
He really is.
But his style, sense, his music was different. He was a skater from Virginia. So, you know, I'm a poser from Northern California. But, like, to hear his music and to see how he looked at things, it was always inspiring. And then eventually I made shoes for him, which was amazing.
Wow, what'd you make?
pink gator Timberlands. I have a pair. I made a pair for myself. I had to.
Wow.
So only him and I have them. But it was just cool for him to for me to be able to do that.
And he's a good designer in his own right, too, with Billionaires Boys Club, I mean, and his Adidas collabs.
Yeah, he's very in touch with, I mean, he's also someone that's, you know, went from just music to open it up. I mean, he has a men's skincare line.
Oh, does he really?
Yeah, maybe that's why he's...
that's so on brand.
But he has many different things. And for me, I get to see these guys, as like Kanye and him and just any of them, and Jay-Z and what they've done from the business side.
Oh my
God. A lot of these guys, how they turned, you know, because you see it go the other way. You see a lot of these music artists and that's it. They have one hit, or...
they lose all their money.
Yeah, it's just about the money and fame, and they don't... like, this is, there's business to it. And for me, I've been always an entrepreneur mindset, but with more of an artist focus. Mm-hmm. And then I brought on a business partner 5 years ago that truly helped me, you know, turn things up a notch to look at it as a business as well.
Mm-hmm.
And how to make something sustainable. Because sometimes as an artist, you're just like, you're creating, you know, to the next thing instead of like, yo, now I have the foundation where I can go create a Bentley. I can go design a house. I can design a restaurant. I have the freedom and flexibility to do that now, and that's what I'm doing.
Talk about that, like bringing a business partner around, because you remind me of something you said earlier, like, I didn't even know what to charge for this, right? Oh, and that's why artists have dealers, because they're not necessarily, right. You know, it's awkward to ask for your true worth from your buddy. Like,
it's nice to have a filter, for sure.
There kind of needs to be a gatekeeper sometimes.
And I was always doing my own deals, you know, and, you know, where I'm always negotiating less. And,
of course.
At the time, you know, I had a lot of things that, you know, but now I need and want more.
Yeah.
Because I know my worth, and I know there's no dollar amount that you can give me that's going to be worth what I've created. There's going to be a middle ground that we agree upon to mutually benefit one another.
Yeah.
But there's no dollar amount that's going to like change my life in a way that I'll be okay with like selling myself.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
No, it does. Talk about the business of being a creative. Like, did you struggle early on? Because a lot of creatives or business people don't have the other skill set.
Yeah.
Either they're way out there creative or they're way business minded but can't design anything. Very few people have both.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny you said that. I had an event the other night and I was just sitting with a friend of mine. She's a lawyer. And like, talking about something in another room of like how I'm trying to tell her to go get it. And the way I speak and my perspective on that is different than, like, she was able to get different words out of my head just by how I was speaking. So us coming together created a whole different vibe, which was like, this is dope. I need someone like that, like always by my side to translate, you know, to me. But for my business partner, he is an artist in his own right, specifically to the business, because there's art in that.
100%.
And, you know, I founded this. I've been doing this since I was a kid. And, you know, he's able to see some simple things that, you know, as an artist, I wasn't able to see. I'm always on to, like, this next thing to simplify some things, mm-hmm. perfect some things, create consistency and a foundation. And now operations to make it sustainable. So as an artist, I can thrive.
Yeah.
Right? So where I thrive is in calmness. Well, I mean, I thrive in chaos too.
Yeah, yeah.
But I thrive in the calmness, and now being able to look at it differently, where I'm like, okay, yeah, I can create a restaurant or whatever it is.
Because you have that solid base.
Yeah, so when we come together, it's like, you know, I'm the creative and he's operations that takes... that role is that's I couldn't imagine taking that role on, for, you know what I mean,
that's not your skill set. Yeah,
but, you know,
it's not what you want to do.
Even for those person, it might be their skill set, but that doesn't necessarily mean like it's easy either, you know what I mean? If that's a lot of work,
100%.
Maintain personalities, you know, employees,
it's a lot of headaches.
It's a lot. So I'm grateful to have him as my partner and to see what previous businesses he's created. And the one thing that connected me and him was one of his businesses in Orange County was the number one place to work at.
Oh, nice.
You know what I mean? So it was always important for me to anyone that worked for me enjoyed their job, mm-hmm. you know, because growing up, I didn't enjoy any jobs to find out. It's just, I think that's just, you know, sometimes that's just the way it is. As humans, there's parts where we're always going to complain about something.
Of course.
You know, unless we continue to work on ourselves and learn that, you know, you can switch your perspective and switch that mind story in your head.
I think there's a lesson. I always try to get tips, you know, for young aspiring entrepreneurs, yeah. you know, who are watching this, and we're almost out of time. So is there a lesson in there for the young creative about business and about selecting a partner?
Selecting a partner, it's selecting anyone, it's choosing anyone in your life. It's like, how does it feel? And you need to have a personal relationship. You know, it can't just be about the business. There has to be some personal relationship for me. You know, if it was just a business transaction, there wouldn't be energy there. So there's more to it than that. So choose someone that you feel comfortable with. I met quite a few potential partners.
I'm sure.
You know, and it's choosing yourself and making sure you guys feel good, and it's not about that dollar amount,
mm-hmm.
right? It's about what energy you can create together, and you know how you can build together.
You sound like a real relationship guy, and it sounds like you take the same approach to networking, which I think a lot of people don't, which is making the connection, enjoying, you know, meeting somebody and kind of meshing and just talking.
Yeah.
Where I think a lot of people go at it from the other angle is, you know, I want to hit this person up so I can get this, or so you can promote this, or so you can tag me in this. What advice do you have for people just looking to network?
I mean, just be honest, authentic, and real. And if you want something, ask for it. And don't be scared for someone to say no, but also come, you know, when you meet someone, don't just you should never just expect something. Value someone else's time and what they've built, and be respectful to them, and be respectful to yourself. But don't be scared to say, to introduce yourself. I had someone here that was a designer, and then Mike Amiri was here, and he didn't go up to him to say hello. He's like, that would have been weird. I was like, no, it wouldn't have. This is the opportunity. You got to take your opportunity.
So 100%.
That's my tip, is take your damn opportunity.
Yep.
Because there's only going to be so many. He might have said, F*** you, get out of here.
But yeah.
You don't know if you don't know.
Yep.
So you gotta just check it out. So.
I was at a coffee shop in Malibu. We went to the beach one day, me and my wife, and I stopped to get, or she had to go to the bathroom. She was pregnant at the time, so there's this bookstore we stop at. I walk in, Rick Rubin is right in front of me. Now, I'm a fucking music nut, and if you don't know who Rick Rubin is, shame on you, right? But I saw him, and I just went, Rick! And he looked at me like, because he thought, like, he knew me or something, but he kind of looked at me like, you know, do I know you?
Yeah.
And I was just like, dude, I'm a big fan. And then he kind of, you could tell, got guarded. I go, like, what connection can I make? It's all about connections, right?
Yeah.
I go, I know he's in Howard Stern, and he does transcendental meditation. I'm like, dude, I'm a huge Howard Stern fan, and I do TM too. And then it clicked.
It opens up a little bit.
And it was just 5 minutes, you know, of just talking with him.
Yeah.
But for me, that meant the world.
Yeah.
Like, I got to meet one of my heroes.
Yeah, no, I mean, but you're confident in yourself to just be able to say hi. I'm sure thoughts went through your head.
Of course.
Like, okay, should I say it?
Should I bother him?
Exactly.
Am I annoying?
But it's like, you know, it's an opportunity, and, you know, you got to think about it this way, too. There's so many celebrities that get hit up all the time, and a lot of them become angry because of it, because they get disrespected so much time. So it depends on how you go about it and your energy and how you can put connections together like that. So,
it really is all about energy. And I think you said that word a dozen times during this interview, but it really is about energy at the end of the day, whether it's a business transaction or just a relationship with somebody.
Yeah.
It really is that transfer, don't you think?
Yeah, no, it is a transfer. And then what you got to know is any of the stresses that we deal with, and you hold on to those, and you're in a conversation, people can feel that. They can see how you look. They can feel it. So when you can just relax a little bit and, like, just be easy and, you know, not put too many worries, then the flow state is easier, and just it feels like you're just, you know, flowing like we should be in this world.
Yeah. What final advice do you have for aspiring entrepreneurs out there?
Final advice would be, It would just be learn as much as you can, however you want. You know, now there's endless learning through the internet that I didn't have at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Just learn as much, soak up as much in, and don't be so hard on yourself. That's what's affecting humanity, is that we're so hard on ourselves. And what I've been working on a lot is self-love. I wasn't taught self-love, and now I get to teach my kids about self-love and healthy selfish. And like, if you're not good, no one else will be good. So there's gonna be times where you need to make sacrifices to get where you wanna go, where things, like you said, having a job that you hate or whatnot, but you know, put in that time and that energy to get something out of it, but also be kind to yourself while doing so.
100%.
You know, I've ended up in the mental hospital multiple times.
You know, it's wild, so have I.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, 2 suicide attempts. I don't usually talk about that.
Yeah,
but
wow.
Yeah, bipolar 2, finally after years, they diagnosed me.
Okay.
You've had issues with mental health too,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I was diagnosed bipolar at 24. I don't believe it was that. There's so many other things happening as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's just...
No fun.
It's also, but a lot of it's because it's that self-talk. So when you can learn to positive affirmations and have that self-love and self-talk, just like you would talk to your kids, if you talk the same way to yourself as your kids, like, your world would be different. But I don't think we're taught that.
No, and it's so true. I love when people say, and it's so true, you know, my self-talk's negative a lot, right? I call it my internal critic, right? He's always criticizing every move I make. But if I talk to somebody else, if somebody else talked to me like that, I'd punch him in the face, you know what I mean? Or I'd run the other way.
So we need to be aware of that, and that's how we need to talk to ourselves. And that's the message, the bigger picture of where I'm headed, is to be able to communicate that to the world and share, you know, create a you know, how do you change humanity? It's one person at a time, and being able to share your story, but also speaking on the stuff you went through to get that connection first, and then sharing how you're doing it and being vulnerable and being able to do it. And yeah, the more you can talk to yourself in a positive way, and a lot of people then take it as narcissism and a lot of this stuff, which I had a conversation with my dad about my kids, and I'm like, I'm going to teach them how to love themselves. And he said something about narcissism. I'm like, they're always going to be, I'm going to teach them how to be respectful and how to be good humans, but also put themselves first. Because if you don't put yourself first, you get taken
nobody
advantage
else
of. There's so many things that happen. So it's a balance, and there's no right energy. There's no right form to create it, create a perfect future. But, you know, there's little things you can do. So it's the self-love. It's to really work on yourself, and it's a forever thing. You never reach that point of like, I'm here. And that's what, as a kid, I was always like, okay, I need to reach whatever this point was, and that's a never-ending thing. So once you realize that, then I think things will get easier. Because, you know, for me, I had a very challenging childhood, and I'm sure a lot of people do, or even life. You know, by your choices, you can get to a place where you can create some good places to relax and like to enjoy. Because I think most of my life wasn't enjoying it. I was just like,
yep,
you know, trying to figure it out, but I'm grateful for it all to be here in this moment. So,
what are your goals for the future? It sounds like one is kind of helping people, giving back what you're doing with the academy.
Yeah.
I mean, like, what are your some boxes you want to check, whether it's a project or a personal goal?
So many different goals as a creative, right?
Oh, sure. Of course.
I'm working on my original clothing line, working on my original shoes, create more schools, create more experiences, and change how retail is looked at. You know, there's that part. Create more community, whether it's through sports and creatives, and then it's also helping change lives in an actual form of, you know, I speak on mental health, but
that's great.
But giving back where what we were just talking about, like, how do you speak more on self-love and the vulnerability and like the challenging side that comes with all of this stuff as well, because so many, you know, mental health is hard access. I mean, it's coming more because of the internet. Like, how do we access it? How do we get help for it? And physical health too, and both of those are very important. If you 100%. Don't take care of your mental health and physical health, they all like coincide. So being able to share that to the world and being a mentor or someone that I can speak on, and you know, I've had to overcome so many things, and I'll still forever have to overcome things, but to be able to share those stories, it's going to create, it's going to unlock and at least shift and help one person. And that's the goal, is to continue to be at service for humans. And that's why I'm on this earth, is to help others.
Anything else you want to promote before we get out of here?
Yeah, man. It's really Surgeon Studios, SRGN Studios. It's about creating the community. Surgeon Academy, about teaching and getting shoemaking and all types of art and craft into people's hands. So, yeah, check those out.
I mean, could there be a better way to end an interview? I mean, such a positive message. First of all, thank you so much, man. No. It was really a pleasure.
Thanks for having me.
And a great conversation.
It was a great conversation. I'm glad I've be able to do it in here. So
yeah, it's dope.
No, I appreciate it.
Guys, if you liked it, make sure you subscribe. There's new interviews every Tuesday, 10 a.m., interviews with the biggest entrepreneurs in the world. And check out some of my old videos. If you like this one, subscribe. That'd be great. But I've got the founder of Rude I did. I can never pronounce his
Ruigi.
Name. Ruigi.
Yep.
I did Ruigi.
Shout out.
He's the best.
Yeah.
Great story, too. So check that out. And Gary Vaynerchuk, you guys will probably like, too. So anyway, thanks for watching, guys. I appreciate it.
Thank you.